Welcome to the Weekly Investment Outlook podcast from Deutsche Bank's Private Bank, looking at the most important issues for investors in the week ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is another edition of our Weekly Investment Outlook podcast. I'm Melissa van Raat, Head of Communications for Private Bank Central Europe and US. Today is Friday, the 5th of April, and I'm very pleased to be here with Deepak Puri, our Chief Investment Officer for the Americas. It's very good to have you, Deepak.
Good morning, Melissa. It's great to be with you.
Now, this is the first podcast in the second quarter of the year. And I remember at the end of 2023, we published the outlook with the title Finding Growth. And now we look back at the first 3 months of 2024. And I really think we cannot complain about the lack of growth, right? At least when we look at some of the major indices. But how would you summarize Q1? Any surprises so far?
Well, the surprise continues to be, Melissa, that how resilient, at least from a US perspective, both the economic growth numbers are, and then following up the equity market performance. I mean, both of those things are really, just talks about American exceptionalism here. And, the growth and momentum story that was such a big highlight for the fourth quarter of last year, just we added on to that as we entered 2024. Just to give our listeners an idea, the S&P gained 10.2% for the first quarter of this year, which is the 11th best first quarter performance since 1950. And that is coming on the heels of a very strong macro backdrop. So if you look at Atlanta GDP number, we are still looking at a 2.5% GDP growth for the first quarter. So yes, finding growth, indeed. But for the time being, that growth doesn't seem to be an issue.
Indeed. Perhaps a closer look at some of the more short-term happenings right now. And let's talk about the US March non-farm payrolls count that provides us with some details of jobs and employment. And that's obviously something that economists as well as the Fed looks at very closely. And after the February numbers, which came in very strong, I guess, is, what we saw now, even stronger numbers for March with more than 300,000 added jobs, which is significantly more than economists expected. What's your take?
Yeah, again, it boils down to my first comment that this economy is really, I wouldn't say firing on all cylinders, but firing on a lot of cylinders, and labor market continues to be very tight. This was a big upside surprise, which has been the case for a long time now. This was the 39th straight monthly gain in when it comes to jobs. You're looking at a market that is creating above average number of jobs. The expectation was to gain around 205,000 jobs, but again, 50% more than what the expectation was. And most hearteningly, the labor force participation rate also increased, which means more people are joining the workforce and they're finding work, which is a very positive. Now, there is some distortion in the data because of migration trends that we have seen. But again, when you zoom out a bit, the trend here really does not suggest that the labor market is deteriorating anytime soon. And that also relates to the average hourly earnings, something that the Fed looks at, because that feeds into broader inflation narrative, which came in at 0.3% month over month at an annualized number of 4.1%, pretty much in line. So overall, a very strong jobs report just makes, I'm sure the Fed chair and the committee is actually quite pleased with this. Along with the inflation data, the job is really the two areas that they focus on.
Yeah, and we are coming back to the Fed and next potential rate cuts in a minute. But maybe before that, let's take a quick look also at next week. We have the ECB meeting on Thursday and some data also coming in from China. And then in the US, we're expecting CPI data coming in on Wednesday, I think, and Fed minutes. We're kicking off the earnings season. We could probably talk about this for an hour or two, but maybe you can just give us some headline calls, expectations. What's on your radar?
Yeah, so the CPI inflation is probably the most important one for the market because it just has so much more impact on repricing of the Fed rate cuts. As you know, the CPI inflation has been a little bit erratic from the start of the year. The March moderation is being expected for the March number, both on the headline, where we expect the month over month to be at 20 basis points compared to 40 basis points in February, and same for core. But the focus is, as always, for at least for this particular cycle, would be on what's called the super core inflation, which excludes energy and housing. And that number has been really where the Fed has felt that they cannot cut rates. If that number starts to deteriorate, it was at 0.5% month over month. If that comes down to around 0.2, 0.3, that'll give more credence to this Fed narrative that inflation is on a disinflation traction, and we should now worry about slower economic growth into the second half of the year and create a sort of a narrative for a rate cut. Having said that, to Melissa, the rate cuts have been priced out quite a lot. At the beginning of the year, the market was expecting 7 rate cuts. As we speak today, the expectation is of 3 rate cuts. So you're looking at later and fewer rate cuts compared to where we were, which was higher for longer. So there has been a regime shift when it comes to the Fed. ECB, on the other hand, and they're going to have their regularly scheduled meeting on Thursday, we might get the first signal that they are getting close to a rate cut. And the difference between ECB and the Fed here is that the Fed is looking at disinflation traction with some hiccups, but a very strong growth environment. And for ECB, the Eurozone inflation is also going down. It is at 2.4% for the month of March, but the growth backdrop is much more weaker. So the ECB has a little bit more bandwidth to start cutting rates. And our expectation is that ECB cuts 4 times from now till end of March 2025, and the Fed cuts 3 times from now till March end of 2025. The first cut for both of them, a little bit of a toss-up, but most likely in June of this year. So one of the other things, Melissa, we are looking at to start next week would be the earnings season kickoff for the first quarter. The U.S. financials tends to kick that off, so we're going to see big banks like J.P. Morgan, Citi report earnings on Friday. Just in general, we are looking for S&P earnings to grow at around 3.6% year over year for this first quarter, which would be the third consecutive quarter of earnings growth. And when it comes to financials, which would be the focus for the first week and a half of earnings season, really my focus is on to see if we get a sense of loan growth, a sense of what is the strength of the consumer, and then is there more provisions being made for non-performing loans in the US, especially related to the commercial real estate. So those would be the areas to focus on when it comes to the US bank earnings, which is really how we kick things off for the earnings season.
Got it. Thanks, Deepak. That was super insightful as usual. And dear listeners, this was this week's edition of our weekly Investment Outlook podcast. I wish you a great week and bye for now.
In Europe, Middle East, and Africa, as well as in Asia Pacific, this podcast may be considered marketing material, but this is not the case in the US. No assurance can be given that any forecast or target can be achieved. Forecasts are based on assumptions, estimates, opinions, and hypothetical models which may prove to be incorrect. Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Performance refers to a nominal value based on price gains and losses and does not take into account inflation. Inflation will have a negative impact on the purchasing power of this nominal monetary value. Depending on the current level of inflation, this may lead to a real loss in value, even if the nominal performance of the investment is positive. Investments come with risk. The value of an investment can fall as well as rise, and you might not get back the amount originally invested at any point in time. Your capital may be at risk. The services described in this podcast are provided by Deutsche Bank AG or by its subsidiaries and/or affiliates in accordance with appropriate local legislation and regulation. Deutsche Bank AG is subject to comprehensive supervision by the European Central Bank, by Germany's Federal Financial Supervisory Authority, and by Germany's Central Bank. Brokerage services in the United States are offered through Deutsche Bank Securities Incorporated, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor which conducts investment banking and securities activities in the United States. Deutsche Bank Securities Incorporated is a member of FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC. Lending and banking services in the United States are offered through Deutsche Bank Trust Company Americas, member FDIC, and other members of the Deutsche Bank Group. The products, services, information, and/or materials referred to within this podcast may not be available for residents of certain jurisdictions. Copyright 2024 Deutsche Bank AG and/or its subsidiaries. All rights reserved. This podcast may not be used, reproduced, copied, or modified without the written consent of Deutsche Bank AG.